All right, Philippians chapter 4, we're going to return there. Tonight I'm going to just, again, continue with this series here, and I hope it's a blessing to you. And last week I thought I was done before I was preparing it, and I prepared something, and the Lord gave me a couple ideas, one of them being tonight's message. And so it's a simple, instructional type message that I hope will be a blessing to you. And we're back in Philippians chapter 4, and as the ushers are handing that out, you should have a pen, and I'll go ahead and read verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Amen. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, and but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do.
Amen.
And the God of peace shall be with you.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, please bless the message tonight. I recognize, Lord, my great need of thee. Amen. I recognize what you told us all in John 15, that without you we can do nothing.
Amen.
And so I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Give us ears to hear. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, in this area of the mind, that we might be thinking in a way that's pleasing to thee. Please remove any distractions, Lord, from this room. And to God, again, I pray for liberty tonight. Please help me, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Well, again, we're continuing with this series, The Battle in the Mind. And in this series, we've been dealing with the principle that we find in Proverbs chapter 23, and verse 7, you could go there if you like, but this is all basically review, where the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so the principle here that we're looking at is this: how you and I think, what we dwell upon, what we chew on, what we muse upon, what we allow to ruminate in our minds, produces emotions. When you and I think on good things, those thoughts will produce good emotions. Should I say biblical emotions like peace and joy and contentment and rest.
Amen.
But when we think on what I'll call toxic things, those thoughts will produce toxic emotions.
Right.
Emotions like stress and worry and being full of care, or a worldly term would be anxiety and depression. You know, Proverbs 12:25 tells us this: heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. So in other words, our thinking does produce emotions. If we have heaviness in our heart, it's going to stoop. And so these emotions here, our thoughts produce emotions, and those emotions become the driving force behind our behavior and behind our attitudes. That's why it is very important, critically important, that we do not allow our thoughts to run wild, not allow our thoughts to go unchecked, to go unrestrained, but instead we learn to do something, and this is not easy to do. I use the word learn on purpose because it goes against our nature. We must learn to purposefully control our thinking. And you know, that's what the Bible commands us to do. We see that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. I won't read the whole verse, but notice it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and pure and just and so forth, we are told to think on these things.
Amen.
Perhaps one of the best verses, and we've been visiting that along on several occasions here, is 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, and you can go there if you like, but it reads this: casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
So when a thought enters into your mind and my mind, what are we to do? We are to examine it. We are to scrutinize it. We are to inspect it. And if that thought is contrary to biblical truth, If it leaves God out of the equation, if it exalts itself, as we read in 2 Corinthians 10, against the knowledge of God, what are we to do with that thought? We are to cast it down. Amen. We are to refuse it. And then we reframe it if necessary. But if it conforms to biblical truth, then what do? We think on it. We receive it. So tonight I want to think on this. I want to preach on this subject, purposeful thinking. Amen. Purposeful thinking. What I mean by this, when we talk about purposeful thinking, is that for you and I, each and every day, to make a conscious effort, a conscious choice to purposely think on certain things. Now, I'd like for us to return back to Philippians. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, return back to Philippians chapter 4, and I want us to see something, because there's a small phrase I want us to think about. Again, we are to make a purposeful effort to think on certain things that will produce biblical, Christ-like attitudes and behavior. Notice Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice again the result, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I'd like for us tonight to consider an area in life, an area in your thinking and my thinking, where we are to purposefully think on something. Make ourselves think about it. What is it? Notice the phrase, with thanksgiving. Amen. You see, one of the keys for you and I to have the peace of God is to have thankful thinking. Amen. Say that three times fast. Thankful thinking. And so tonight I want to preach on this subject, peace through gratitude. We talked about peace through forgiveness. We talked about peace through the seasons of life. Tonight I want to talk about how you and I can have this peace of God that He wants us to have. And one of the elements that will contribute to having that peace is if you and I have thankful thinking.
Amen.
That's not easy to do. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So again, we're dealing with the subject, peace through gratitude. I'd like to make just a few introductory statements here, and I want you to write them down, actually the blanks. There's three of them, as we consider several things that the Bible teaches about gratitude, about being thankful. Number one is this. Let's first turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. Turn there with me, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's a familiar passage. We know it's talking about the last days. I believe we are in the last days. Matter of fact, I would believe we're in the last of the last days. I would not be surprised if tonight the trumpet sounded and we would be in heaven. I would not only not be surprised, I'd be pretty happy about it. Amen? How about you?
Amen.
But this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Notice the next word. What is it?
Unthankful.
Number one, an introductory statement concerning gratitude is this. The world that we live in is an unthankful world. Marsha Doyle wrote an article entitled, Are We Raising an Ungrateful Generation? What would your answer be to that? Absolutely. In the article, this stay-at-home mom wrote about something that her teenage son had said to her in the heat of an argument. The family was struggling with things financially, and they couldn't do some of the things that he wanted them to do. And so in the midst of the argument, this teenage boy said this to his mom. He said, why don't you go out and get a real job? Then he went on to say, you don't do anything for this family. She thought, well, besides cooking thousands of dinners, packing your school lunches every day, folding your laundry, cleaning the house, volunteering in your school classroom, helping with your homework, reading bedtime stories, chasing away the monsters that you thought lurked in your room at night, drying your tears, driving you to choir practice, taking you to church, taking you to school, taking you to your friend's house, sitting up all night when you had a fever, and making sure every day that you had clean clothes and a full belly. Besides that, I guess I don't contribute to this family. This story reflects the entitlement generation that we are living in. My point is this: here you and I are called to be thankful, and we're living in a generation that is unthankful, unappreciative, entitlement. It's all around us. By the way, this Green New Deal that they're talking about, that is being suggested, guarantees economic security, which presumably includes income, health care, child care, higher education, housing, transportation, and retirement benefits for those that are unwilling to work, is merely a reflection of our entitlement generation that we are living in. We live in an unthankful generation. One preacher put it well this way: the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing.
Amen.
That's a good statement.
Right.
I wrote that in my Bible. So we see, number one, the world we live in is an unthankful world. Number two is this: thanklessness is connected to godlessness. You say, where'd you get that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn to Romans chapter 1, if you would, please. Romans chapter 1. Notice what we read, as there's a description here given by the Apostle Paul of the thinking of an unregenerate world. We read in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So that knowledge of God is put in their hearts. They know that God exists, but they don't want to believe it, because that means they're accountable to him. And so they glorify him not as God, neither were what?
Thankful.
You see, being unthankful is a direct result of either not knowing God, or not understanding God, or not having a proper view of God. It is connected to godlessness. And then a third introductory statement is this: God's people are to be characterized by thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So often people say, particularly young people, I want to know the will of God. I want to do the will of God. What is the will of God for my life? Well, here's part of it right here.
Amen.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see, one of the things that is supposed to be a distinguishing mark of a believer is that we are to be grateful people.
Amen.
Thankful people. Now go back to our text in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Again, we read, with the thanksgiving. We'll see tonight, I believe, that being thankful is essential to having the peace of God.
Amen.
Essential. So tonight, let's get right into the message and consider several things that might help us have peace through gratitude. Number one, there are principles we must understand. So write that down. The principles we must understand. If you and I are going to be grateful people, and we'll get to this, I'm building up to something, I hope, anyway. We need to understand certain things about God. If we're going to be thankful, there's things that you and I need to understand and be reminded of over and over and over again. The first thing is this, letter A, write it down: God's provision for our lives.
Amen.
Notice Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Notice we read, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many people believe that tonight, that he will supply all your need? You know, my hand goes up with you, but I wonder sometimes if I act that way.
Amen.
Our God promises to provide for you and for me every single thing that we need. Everything we need to live a victorious, a profitable, a blessed, if you will, Christ-honoring life. Everything he promises that we need, he'll provide. Now, what does that include? Well, write it down. Number one, he will provide our physical needs. You say, well, does he really? He does. Go over to Matthew chapter 6, if you would, and the Sermon on the Mount. He will provide our physical needs. Notice Matthew chapter 6, won't read the whole thing for time's sake, but you could write next to that, Matthew 6, 25 to 34. I think you know what it says. Therefore I say unto you, verse 25, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Jump down to verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things to the Gentiles seek. Notice, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things.
Amen.
He knows what you need.
Amen.
And he provides it for us. Look at verse 33. What's our responsibility? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So notice, since he takes care of our physical needs, this does not mean that we should not work.
Amen.
That means I sit back and say, okay, God's going to take care of me, so I don't need to get a job, evidently, because he's going to just plop it out of heaven. Doesn't work that way.
Amen.
We don't work, we shouldn't eat, according to the Bible. Doesn't mean we should stand on some street corner with a cardboard sign asking for money either. Amen. That's not God's plan. But it does mean this, that as we do our part, as we work, as we seek first the kingdom of heaven, God promises as we do that, that he will do his part by supplying everything that we need.
Amen.
All of our physical needs. Psalm 37 and verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Amen.
Do you believe that tonight? That God will promise all of your physical needs? He will. There's a second thing. Not only our physical needs does he promise to provide, but also our spiritual needs as well. Oh, we could go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Well, the Bible says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Amen.
He has given us everything we need to have spiritual victory in this world and to live a godly life. Amen.
Amen.
That the man of God, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He has provided everything we need to be spiritually strong and fulfill his perfect will for our lives.
Amen.
Again, I ask, and I'll ask it again and again, do we believe that?
Good.
Do you believe in God's provision? It's a principle we have to understand. If I need it, God will provide it. Amen?
Amen.
But then we also have to understand, number two, or letter B, God's providence in our lives.
Amen.
Now watch this. Not only do we have to understand that he will provide for me physically my needs, but we also have to understand that there is nothing that happens in our lifetime. Nothing that has happened, nothing that is happening, and nothing that will happen, whether we ourselves would consider it to be good or bad or even ugly, that has not been permitted
Amen.
By God.
Amen.
How many believe that? Again, my hand goes up too. It goes up here, but does it go up here? Do you know what I'm saying? Again, everything in your life, God has either ordained it or he has allowed it. Now, the word providence is not in the Bible. We understand that. But the truth of it is, and God's providence means this, that God has complete control over all of his creation.
Amen.
All of it. Everything. Nothing happens without his knowledge. Again, he either ordains it or he allows it. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that the ultimate goal behind everything that God allows in our lives, ordains in our lives, whatever, that he has brought in, or even things that he has withheld from us, is for two reasons. One, for our good, and also for his glory.
Praise the Lord.
You see, that is the foundation, if you ask me anyway, of gratitude. It is rooting in understanding that everything I need, God will provide for me, and every circumstance in my life, God has ordained or He's allowed. Amen. Without understanding those two vital principles, we will never be grateful,
right,
and will never have the peace of God.
Right.
So we see, number one, the principles we must understand. Number two, secondly, we'll look at this, the problem that we face. Now, what's the problem that we face? Well, you say, I got a lot of problems. Yeah, join the club, amen. Amen. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Let me see if I can't explain this to you. Because we see this problem all the way back in Genesis chapter 2. Notice in verse 15. I'll wait till you get there. The Bible says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Notice there is a colon there, not the end of the sentence, but I'm going to stop there. Here's what he's saying. Look around, Adam and Eve. Look at everything that's out there. Everything that you're seeing, I have provided for you. I have given to you. This is my will for you. Eat and enjoy. But, verse 17, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So notice God not only provided everything that they needed, but he also withheld from them something that would hurt them. Well, go to Genesis chapter 3. You know the story, what goes on. The devil comes along in Genesis chapter 3, and he says unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman, of course, answers him, and the devil comes along, and notice what he does here. Instead of drawing Eve's attention to all the good things that God had provided for her and for her husband, he drew her attention to the one thing that God withheld from them.
Amen.
And it caused them to be discontent.
And
it caused them to be ungrateful. It caused them to think otherwise. Watch what happens here. Their wrong thinking about things caused a wrong emotion and, of course, caused a wrong behavior.
Amen.
Sin entered into the world, and we know the story from there. My point is this. Here's what I'm trying to say. Here's what the devil wants you and I to do. While God says, be grateful, be thankful, I've provided everything for you. I've given you everything you need physically. I've given you everything you need spiritually. And I've withheld some things from you that are not good for you.
Amen.
And I want you to imagine this stage or this platform to be the will of God. And what's on it would be everything that's the will of God for my life. And so I should accept it. But what the devil does, instead of me standing here and enjoying all the things that will say this circle are within God's will, what the devil does is he comes to me and he taps on my shoulder and he says, hey, look over there.
Right.
Say, what? Over there. Oh, what's over there? Look at that. There's people that have some things that you don't have. There's some people that have situations that are better than yours. Look at that. And what happens is he wants me and you to look at what others have. He wants me and you to look at what we don't have. He wants me and you to look at my situation in life and compare it to my perception, if you will, of other people's situation in life. And he does that in order for me and you to do exactly what Eve did, become discontent with God's provision for my life.
Right.
That's what he does. And God's providence in my life. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 puts it this way, for in verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise.
Amen.
God says it is not wise to take your situation, God's providence for you, God's provision for you, and compare it to someone else's, because every time you and I do, we'll become discontent.
Amen.
Now please understand that what I'm about to say here is in no way suggesting that it's wrong to buy nice things. That it's no way wrong to be financially stable. That it's no way wrong to seek to advance yourself either academically or financially or in your field of work. But what I'm saying is this, that it is absolutely wrong to desire things that are outside of God's will for you.
Amen. Right.
Did you hear that? It's wrong for you and me to desire things that are outside of God's will for me.
Amen.
But we do it all the time.
Right.
All the time. And it steals our gratitude.
Right.
In fact, we get discontent about it. Do you know that every day you and I are daily bombarded with advertisements? We are. You can't get away from them. Do you know a person living in a city 30 years ago saw as many as 2,000 ads per day? That includes billboards, television, etc. Do you know the present rate today is about, listen to this, 5,000 ads per day? And do you know that advertisements are designed to do one thing? Here they are. To convince you that you just have to buy that product. To convince you that you just have to do whatever it is they're advertising. You have to buy that product. You have to go on that vacation. You have to have that certain item. You have to pursue a certain course of life or a course of action. Because if you do that, you'll get out of the crummy life that you're in and into the life that we're portraying. And we fall for it all the time. You know, U.S. News and World Report had an article written in September 2015 entitled this. Listen to this. Seven tricks advertisers use to make you spend money. By the way, newsflash, they don't care about you. They care about your money. They don't care about your life. They care about your money. And I think the Bible says something about the love of money is the root of all evil. But in this article, it was interesting. They listed, this is what, they got people that invest millions upon millions of dollars to figure out how to get you and I to be discontent with where we are and just have to do what they want us to do or have what they want us to have. They spend millions upon millions of dollars researching human nature to get you to think that way.
Amen.
I know you're just dying to hear the seven things, aren't you? Well, I'm not going to tell them to. No, I am. Listen to this. Here's the list. And this, by the way, this is not saved people that this article came from. Number one is this. The first thing they do, a trick they use to make you spend money is this. Number one, appeal to your vices. What do you think about that? And here's what they listed as vices. They're trying to appeal to your lust, to your greed, to your gluttony, to your sloth, to your envy, and to your pride. That sounds like Bible words, if you ask me. Everything that the Bible says we're not supposed to be. And that's what they said in this article. We're trying to get to the vice of lust and gluttony and greed and sloth and envy and pride. That's what they're trying to do, to appeal to your vices. Number two is this. They're trying to stir your emotions. I won't spend a whole lot of time on all these. Number three, they want to suggest that, they try to suggest that everybody else is doing this. Everybody else is buying this. Everybody else is going here. Everybody else is taking this course of action. And why aren't you? Number four, they say they use attractive people. They always do. Why? So that you think if you do what they're doing or you use that product that you'll somehow look the same way. You won't. Number five, is this, repetition. They say the thing over and over and over and over again. Sometimes I'm in places and I hear these, they drive you crazy, these commercials. I mean, they just say the thing over and over again. Number six is this, they gloss over the cost.
Amen.
They won't tell you how much it costs, so they'll make light of it. Wait, there's more, something, some more with your 1994. Wait, there's more, amen. And then number seven, they want to make you laugh. I thought that was interesting. You say, why would they want to make me laugh? They're trying to make it fun. You ever wonder why they have these Super Bowl commercials that they're supposed to be really funny, which some half the time I don't get any of this stuff anyway. And they say they do that. Why? So it's interesting what they say. This is what the researchers say. So you forget about why you don't want to buy the product.
Amen.
That's pretty funny. My point is this, you and I, if we're going to be grateful people, then we will be constantly fighting the world and the flesh and the devil that is trying to convince us that our lives are terrible compared to others. That we would have been better if we stayed single, or if we married somebody else, or if our children behaved better, and if we only had a different house, or a different job, or you lived in a different place, or you took this vacation, or if your health situation was different, or if you only had this item, if you only had that item, then if you just did those things, boy, you'd be happy. Stop already. Stop already. Do you understand? We have everything that God wants us to have already. No. I need that new iPhone that's coming out. Or that new this. How many are sick of this stuff? Anybody else raise your hand? Notice everyone that raised their hand, watch this, was that I saw, was over 30. Most, you know, there were some young people, not me, I can't wait for the next one, man. Well, guess what? You're going to learn the hard way then. You're going from one thing to the next, and they are going to pull your chain and your wallet for years until you wise up to this stuff. There's always going to be a new one. There's always going to be a little bit better one, a little bit faster one, a little bit this, and a little bit that. And boy, you just can't live unless you have that thing.
Amen.
Don't be foolish. People laugh at me because I have an old iPhone. You know, Mr. Horn has, if you say what Mr. Horn has, got an iPhone 4, half the people in this room would go, iPhone 4. Yeah? Do you know they were lining up for the iPhone 4? Just like they lined up for the 5 and the 6 and the 6S and the 7, 7S, now whatever! I just want to know whatever happened to the 9. Anyway. right to 10. My point is this. When they do that, understand they're causing us to look at what God has provided for us and be discontent and ungrateful with his provision and his providence in our life.
Amen. Amen.
Be thankful.
Right.
Be thankful.
Amen.
So we see number one, the principles we must understand. We see number two, the problem we must face. And that is the devil trying to convince us. And then number three, we're going to see this, the practice we must repeat. Now let's go back to Philippians chapter 4 here. We have a list here, and I'm not going to go through the list because I could spend a sermon, and I think I talked about the first one, the true one, in Philippians 8, but I want to just park on one of these. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, here's the one I want to park on. Whatsoever things are of good report.
Amen.
And I'll skip the rest just for what I'm trying to do here. Think on these things. Do you know the way to fight unthankfulness is by gratitude?
Amen.
Is by thinking gratitude.
Amen.
And by the way, I've read these verses, but I'll read them again for emphasis' sake. We're supposed to be that way as believers.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But understand, if you and I are going to be thankful, if we are going to have peace through gratitude, then it must come through a purposeful thinking.
Amen.
We must make ourselves do it.
Amen.
To daily thank God. You know, I want to challenge you, and I'm going to take this challenge myself. When you go to pray tomorrow, think of this list.
Amen.
And maybe write some things down. And I'm not saying do it every day, but review it every day. How do I make myself thankful? It's so easy.
Amen.
Think on these things.
Amen.
You say, on what? I'm going to give you four of them. They're so simple. Number one is this. Every day, thank God for, number one, the good things in the past.
Amen.
So I don't have any good things in the past. That's the problem. You're not thinking about it. If you're here tonight breathing, then something's good has happened. Think of the good things. Psalm 143 and verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. You see, when we get down to pray, we ought to thank God as we pray to him instead of rushing to our laundry list of things we want the butler to do.
Amen. Right.
We say, God, thank you for the things in the past. You know, the Bible uses the word remember in 145 verses, and I know it's a lot of different contexts and applications of that. I understand that. But there are many times it tells us to remember things of the past, the good things.
Amen.
How about this? Be thankful for your salvation. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you ought to thank God for that. If you're a little grumpy, if you're having a bad day, hey, you know what? Start thinking gratitude and go back to some of the things that God has done in your life. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, the very best thing that's ever happened in your life was that you got saved.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for salvation.
Praise the Lord.
How about God's protection of you over the years?
Amen.
Oh, think about that in the past. How about the spouse God gave you, if that's the case? Or the children God gave you? Or the friends that he's given you? Or the measure of health? You have some measure of health today. By the way, you could be a lot worse off.
Amen.
Take a trip with me and my partner Thursday afternoon when we walk through some of these nursing homes. And you're going to walk out of there saying, boy, I thank the Lord for my health. Sitting in a hallway, many of them in a wheelchair, not even able to lift up their head and just looking at nothing all day long.
Amen.
That'll make you thankful.
Amen.
Thankful for the ministry God's given you. Ah, a bunch of snotty-nosed bus kids. Come on now, really? There was a day when you were thankful to take that bus route. There was a day when you were thankful to take those kids. There were a day when you prayed and you walked in there saying, oh God, help me to make a difference in their life. And you were fervent and thankful, saying, oh God, thank you for letting me do this and not somebody else.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank God for the things of the past.
Amen.
And then number two, you know where I'm going here. Thank God for the good things of the present.
Amen.
Stop thinking about things that you don't have and think about what you do have. Stop thinking about the house you want. Think about the house you have. Stop thinking about that place you want to live with the field and the farm and the horses and the lake and the stream and all that. And think about what you do have. Because if you keep looking over there, you're going to become discontent about your life and you won't be thankful. God gave you a place to live, didn't he? By the way, go visit some of these places around the world if you want to appreciate America. Go to India. Go to places like that where boy, you'll come home kissing the ground.
Amen.
Be thankful for your vehicle. This dumb thing breaks down every week. Yeah, some people don't have a vehicle. Well, I want a new one. Why don't you just fix the one you have? Because you're not going to like that car payment in about 2 years. It loses its excitement after about 2 years, but the payments, they keep coming, don't they? How about your church? Man, we got a great church.
Amen.
You know, I think of my life, and I'm so thankful for you guys. I am. I'm thankful for this place. I'm thankful for my wife. I said, Lord, what else could I ask for?
Amen.
I got kids that want to talk to me, amen. They FaceTime us all the time, and they want Mo and Poppy, the grandkids. Come on, man. How much better could it be? Be thankful for that. Well, they're not perfect, and well. That's the problem. And then letter C, write this down. Also, be thankful for the things that God has withheld from you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, no, I want this. You ought to be thankful he didn't let you have some of the things, even some things that we asked for.
That's right.
Oh, God, let me hit the lottery. Do you know he could do that? He could. Not that we're against gambling. I understand all that. But I'm saying he could plop $1 million out of nowhere. Someone go, hey, there's a long-lost relative that left you $1 million. Well, why not? You know why? Because we wouldn't be able to handle it.
That's right.
We wouldn't. Do you know all the junk that comes with that? Everybody calling you up for stuff and everybody trying to steal and all that stuff. I'm just saying, he could, and there's nothing wrong if he does. I'm saying if he does, but don't think, well, my life would be great if only I had that. God will give us everything we need.
Amen.
And if that's not good for us, he won't give it to us.
Amen.
Proverbs 13, verse 7, two things have I required of thee, deny me them, not before I die. Remove from me vanity and lies. Notice, give me neither poverty nor riches. This is Agur talking, and it's a lot of wisdom here. He's saying here, God, don't give me poverty or riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lord, give me everything I need, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain.
Amen.
Perhaps the reason we haven't gotten things is because we can't handle them. Well, if I could only pastor a church of 5,000 people. You couldn't handle it. Neither could I. He gives us what we need and what's good for us and what brings him the most. You know, I'm thankful the Lord hasn't answered some prayers sometimes. Do you know what I'm saying? Because afterwards you say, oh, wow, I'm glad that didn't happen. That would have been a problem. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Be thankful for what he's withheld. And then lastly, letter D, and we're done. Also, be thankful for the good things that are in the future. You say, what good things? We have a bright future if you're saved.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You see, we hang our head and we read about the Green New Deal. We read about all of these liberals that are just coming in swinging now into Congress. I'm telling you, they got the mic now. They got the stage. They're going to say everything they're going to do. And I'll tell you what, if you're like me, it gets under my skin.
Yeah.
But you know, if I think about that, I'll get depressed. I have to think about this. You know what? God is good to us. He's working out this land thing over here. He's working out this house over here. He's moving in our hearts. He's moving in our lives. People are getting saved. God is good. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And besides all that, when we leave this place, we're going to heaven.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Here's my point. I'm done right here. Without a heart of gratitude to God, we'll never experience peace. We'll look at our life and say, man, what a crummy life I got. A crummy house, crummy car, crummy situation. My health's this, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. Stop.
Amen.
Stop. Think on the good things. To be anything of good report,
Amen.
Think on these things. Let's pray
Amen.
Together.